For a moment, I want us to believe that this was written to the church in Sardis in 2013. So the messenger was probably driving up in his beat-up old car, because that's all he could afford. And he drove into this parking lot. And there were the parking lot greeters ready to tell him where to park. And, "Are you a guest? You've never been here before? Here is where our guests park." And he moved his car to the new big section for brand new visitors and welcome new guests. And as he got out of his car and began that journey towards that sanctuary, he had people greeting him along the way. "Oh, welcome to our church. Is this your first time coming? This is what we have." And he began to hear the story of this church that seemed so absolutely alive. And he said, "Well, I'm coming with a message for Jesus." "Well, are you coming to bring that message to our contemporary service? They meet over there in the family life building. Or is the message for our traditional service? They meet over here in our sanctuary. Or do you want to go to our youth church? They meet about 5 o'clock at night. You can give the message there. Tell us where you need to bring this message. And if you want to bring it to our special interest groups who are working on this, and we have these small groups, and you can bring it to them there." We would think, wow, what a beautiful church. Listen how alive it is. He says, "I need to bring this message to your church." So they call in everybody, and they fill all those pews, and the thousands upon thousands are gathered there, and this is what they hear. "I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. But you are dead." If you noticed in these first few weeks, each time Christ appears to the churches, he appears in a different manifestation of how we understood him in that very first chapter in Revelation. And it begins here in chapter 3, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." Christ is saying from the very beginning, the one who is speaking to you has power over the heavens and over the earth, over things of the spirit and things of the world. So as he begins this message to the people of Sardis, he is reminding them who he is, where his power lies, what his power encompasses. And then we hear that they have a name of being alive. So they have the appearance of doing all that which a church should do for God, but they are dead. But they are dead. So what might that mean, church? What might that mean? Well, as we have journeyed through the churches, we have learned that the first problem was a relationship with God, one of remembering that love. The second one was stepping out, removing our fear, stepping out in that love to proclaim Christ's message. But when we allow fear to overcome us, we begin to compromise our beliefs. And when we begin to compromise our beliefs, we begin to compromise our actions. So we fall into theological compromise, moral compromise, until suddenly we're doing the works of God, but we're dead. So that instead of thinking, how does this thing we are doing, this thing we call worship, bring others into a closer relationship to Christ, it's how can we design worship so that others can come into our church? How can we have programs so that others will come into our community? How can we do fundraisers so that we can raise money for our church? Our, me, mine. Our focus isn't on how can we do these things so that God's message of salvation is proclaimed out into the world through us. It becomes all about us. And if it isn't all about God and it's all about us, then spiritually we are dead. But there's a message of hope this morning, because as he goes on in this story, as he goes on in this message, he says, "Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. Because it is good that we have worship. It is good that we have Sunday school. It is good that we have small groups. It is good that you are on mission. It is good that you are bringing in youth. It is good. It is good. It is good because it is all about God. But if our focus has shifted from God and how God is calling us to serve Him in the community to us, then we are dying. But we have the basis. And Sardis has the basis. And all they need to do is to wake up to what God is calling them to do. And who God is calling them to be. And how God is calling them to serve the community. They have the reputation in the community. They're the Sossaman Church of Sardis. Everyone knows who Frank's church is. Or where Frank's church is. This is the Church of Sardis. Everybody wants to be there. But they are not serving the Lord. They are serving themselves. But they have all that they need to turn themselves around and serve God. Now, I've shared a little each week with the cities that we're talking about. So I want to let you know, as we move forward into this message, what was happening in Sardis. Well, Sardis, if you look on the maps today, you might find it. It's called Sart, S-A-R-T, and it's in the Manisa province in Turkey. And it was first mentioned in around 500 B.C., and sometimes they even think in the Iliad, when they talked about Hyde, they were talking about Sardis. But that's debated. They don't know if that's for sure. But it became the city, the capital of the Maeonians. So it was a capital city at one time in the early 8th century B.C., and it began to rise as this capital. It was a seat of power. They had an industry. They, too, were a clothing industry, a cloth industry. But they had this really neat thing in Sardis. They had a river. And this river ran from the mountain through the city out into the fields. Well, this mountain was rich with gold. So in the midst of this city was this stream full of gold nuggets. And in that time in history, gold nuggets was how you made commerce, how you traded. But no one knew the value because the gold was corrupt. It had other things attached to it, predominantly silver. So you didn't really know the true value of the nugget in your hand. Well, in Sardis, they found a way to separate the silver from the gold so that the true value of the coin could be established. So when they did this, they say that in Sardis, this revolution made the people there rich. And they became known for wealth itself. And Sardis's claim to fame is in history is that they invented modern currency. But it was a place of great disaster. Every time they turned around, one country was overruling them after another. And then in 13 AD, after Christ was born, they had an earthquake. And they continually rebuilt and rebuilt. So it was a community of struggle. But they always struggled. And about the time that John was writing, received this message, it was around 90 AD, he received this message. Sardis was beginning this downhill fall. Because the other thing that happened, and we all understand this, is the trade route changed. It moved outside of Sardis. And what happens when the highway bypasses you? You begin to be less important in the world. And eventually, in 1402, they feel the city was completely destroyed and declined through the capture of the Mongolian warlord Timur in 1402. So when we hear John's message to Sardis, wake up. Wake up, or you may be dead. The community that worshipped our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Sardis is dead. But Christ also offers us this hope. He says, if you do not wake up, Remember, then, what you received and heard, obey it and repent. Remember what you received and heard, obey it and repent. What have we received and heard? We have received the gift of salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They have received the gift of salvation through their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they receive that gift of eternal life, that gift of a life free of sin, they were also told what to do. Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in my name. And Christ reminds them that the first way we do that is to be a servant. Remember the parable of the sheep and the goats? The naked? When did we clothe the naked? When did we feed the hungry? When did we visit the sick and in prison? Christ calls us to be servants. And if all of this is in place and we are doing it for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for His glory, not our own, then we are alive. And He tells the church to repent. That the church is not about us, it is about me, God, and Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God, which can come here on earth as it did in heaven. When I first read this Wake Up, my first thought was, especially when I heard, for strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. I thought about a young clergyman. His name is Marty Colley, and he serves in Rocky Mount. Marty Colley went on vacation this summer. He's maybe 5, 6, 10 years younger than me, and he went on his summer vacation with his family, and he's an exciting pastor and a passionate man for Jesus Christ, and he had to go to the hospital. Thought he had a gallbladder attack. 3 weeks later, we get on our listserv that Marty Colley has terminal cancer. And now that we all know Marty has terminal cancer, you can imagine how we're all treating Marty. Well, Marty now has a t-shirt that he put on Facebook that says, "Not dead yet." And God is telling that to the church in Sardis. You are not dead yet. Don't act like you are, or don't live out like you are. Don't live without this relationship. You still have life. You can have life in me, and the life-giving things you are doing can bring people to me. You've got it all there. Just remember who you are and do the things that I have taught you. Repent of your ways. And then he promises us this thing. I will come and close your doors if you don't. Sardis is no more. But if you do, I will clothe you in white robes. Now, white robes are the robes of the priest. Christ is reminding us that we are to be the priestly function of the church here on earth. We are the ones who are to proclaim the message of good news. You do not have to be ordained to do it. If you are called by God into a relationship with your God through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you are called to be a priesthood of all believers. You are clothed in white robes. We are not dead yet. And when we believe that we are, we're going to act like we are. But if we act like we aren't, but don't have a relationship with God, then we are. Now, did I just confuse you? If we believe that we are dead, we're going to act like the walking dead. And we'll all need t-shirts, not dead yet, to remind us that we're not dead yet. But if we believe that there is nothing wrong, and we are alive in Christ and doing everything we can for ourselves, then we are already dead. So God calls us to repent, to remember what we have received and heard and learn from it. What we have received. It is the reason why it was on this Sunday I chose that we receive the gift of Holy Communion. One of the things that Christ, there were two things Christ did that remind us whose we are. He instituted something that we call the Lord's Supper as he transformed that Passover tradition. But he also washed the feet of his disciples. So he reminds us that it is at the table that we are nourished and fed, at the table of the Lord. And he also reminds us that once we have been nourished and fed, we are to go out and serve the world. So this morning, as we move to our service of Holy Communion,